You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, Hoopsheads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Tuesday, March 6th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. It's going to be a short pod today. I have to get it out real quick. I have a conference I'm going to today and tomorrow. I'll make sure to get the tomorrow's pod out as well. I work in development for nonprofits in addition to doing this podcast and writing for Forbes.com, so I gotta do some day job shit, and it's going to be very fun, but that means this pod has to get out very quickly. Today we're going to be talking about the Nets, the scary Nets. Yeah, they're going to be, no, the Nets are great. They're well coached. They're in the middle of their, you know, their rebuild, but Kenny Atkinson is a great coach. They've got some great players. Spencer Dinwiddie is a good one. Allen Crabb, Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, Damari Carroll. They've got some good players on this team. And of course, Jeremy Lin, who will be back next year. And Jeremy Lin actually had a very interesting spot on the Low Post podcast and talked with Zach Lowe about, you know, his career and everything. It was really, really interesting. You know, obviously he went to Harvard. He has a way of representing himself that not all basketball players have. He really got into it, and it was a very interesting interview. So definitely take a listen to that. In the second segment, we're going to do our Warrior of the Week. That's Andre Iguodala. I'm going to take a look at his numbers since the All-Star break and see, you know, I mean, because it's a whole new Andre right now. He's taking three-pointers, making three-pointers. He's, you know, he had the ups for the entire season, but he seemed a step slow a lot of the season, and he just, that break really helped him out, and whatever he's doing is working because Andre is playing very well right now, still not scoring the ball, you know, like he did back when he was in Philadelphia. Of course, he doesn't need to, but just everything else, he's just filling all the gaps. And obviously that was on display on Friday against Atlanta. And then in the third segment, we're going to go quickly around the NBA and check out some of these streaking teams and see what the Rockets are up to, because the Rockets are, of course, our rivals. You can find this podcast on every platform that podcasts are available: iTunes, Spotify, iOS, Google Play, and LockedOnWarriors.com. Make sure you bookmark that page. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On Warriors on Facebook and Locked On NBA Net on Facebook as well. You can get in contact with me on Twitter at Koji Tare, KOGITARE, or via email at AlikoCarter11@gmail.com. Now let's get into this game. The Warriors played the Nets back in November, and it was a pretty, you know, it was routine. No Kevin Durant in that one, so Omri Caspi got the start, had 12 points and 8 rebounds in that game, and he tends to play good in starters' minutes, so great for him. Stephen Curry had 39 points in the game, along with 11 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals. He had 7 turnovers in that game, though, and that's just, you know, that's a lot, and he also fouled out. We don't expect that to happen this year. Klay Thompson, 23, he was a plus 11 to lead the team. He had 10 rebounds in the game. And the Warriors are going to have to rebound as a team. They're going to have to get those rebounds from Draymond, who had 7, Klay, who had 10, Steph, who had 11, Caspi, who had 8, Andre, who had 5. You know, they're going to have to rebound as a team. They're going to have to make sure they don't turn the ball over, obviously. The Nets are a fast-paced team. They play at the 6th fastest pace in the league. So, you know, they're going to run with the Warriors, and that's going to be good for the Warriors. The Warriors are going to run them into the ground. But points per game, 15th out of 30, that means they're not a great shooting team. They play at a good pace, but their shooting is not great. And they allow 110 points per game. The Warriors, obviously, score 116. The offensive rating is bad. The defensive rating is bad. Very egalitarian rotations for the Nets and very egalitarian scoring. Damari Carroll, nobody plays more than 30 minutes a game. Damari Carroll's right there at 29.9. He's scoring 13 points a game. Allen Crabb is right there at 29.6, scoring 12 points a game. Spencer Dinwiddie, right there, 13 points a game. And Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, right there at 28 minutes a game and then scoring 14 points a game. Caris LeVert is also scoring in double figures, as is Joe Harris. This is a team with a lot of good, not great players. And the Warriors shouldn't have trouble taking care of business here at home. Remember, this team also has cast-offs Jahlil Okafor and D'Angelo Russell. They rebound the ball quite well for the pace they play. They average 45 rebounds a game. Not a good shooting team. They shoot 43% from the field and 35% from the three-point line. Very average. So I would say the key for the Warriors here is to not to fall asleep. Just play Warriors basketball and the win will come. Jeremy Lin is the only player on the injury report for the Nets. For the Warriors, Jordan Bell is dealing with a lower back strain but is expected to play. Curry left the last game with his right ankle tweak on Zaza's foot and is expected to play. And Patrick McCaw is still dealing with his left wrist injury. And we're back, and we're going to be talking about Andre Iguodala, our Warrior of the Week. In five games since the All-Star break, Andre has not shot below 50% from the field. Let me say that one more time. Andre is shooting above 50% in all games since the All-Star break. There have been five games, and he hasn't shot below 50% from the field in any of them. To be fair, he's not necessarily taking that many shots. He took three shots in the game versus the Clippers. And the most he's taken is eight versus Atlanta, making four. In the game against OKC, he was a plus 29, had six rebounds and seven assists to go along with his 7 points, just filling up the stat sheet. He had a game against Washington where he had three blocks. And so it's just one of those things where Andre fills in the gaps that the Warriors need filling in. In that game against OKC, he had a net rating of 66.9 and assisted on 35% of available possessions for the Warriors. And all of this is with a usage percentage that didn't go above 17% in the last five games. Andre does so much with so little, and that's why he's always been a positive for the Warriors whenever he's on the court. He just knows how to fit in without having the ball in his hands. And when he does have the ball in his hands, he doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't turn the ball over like some of our other players who are a little bit more sloppy pass happy. And sometimes it looks like he has the ball on a string. I just want to say he's just fooling with people sometimes with the ball, spinning around in the fast break, getting the ball to the right person or taking it himself. And he's got this just array of, he's got such long arms. And so you just don't know where the ball is going to go when he's got the ball in his hands on a string. And he takes care of it. He takes care of the ball. For the season, he's averaging 25 and a half minutes, 46% shooting, only 25% from the three-point line and only 57% from the free throw line. Got to do better, but we know that Andre isn't going to bring that. And his shooting over the last few games is better than his shooting over the course of the season. He's feeling more confident. He's got more spring in his legs. Excuse me, his free throw percentage is 64%. His two-point percentage is 57%. And he's averaging 3.9 rebounds a game, 3.3 assists, and 1.5 stocks at steals plus blocks. It's hard with Andre to quantify what he brings to the court because he's playing, you know, not great minutes. He's not scoring the ball. His PER this year is only, player efficiency rating is only an 11. That is below average, but it doesn't quantify what he brings to the Warriors when he's playing in the game. He brings, like I said in the last podcast, a calmness that the Warriors need sometimes because they get out of their element, they start spraying passes, and Andre brings everything back together. He doesn't spray passes. He doesn't do those things that the Warriors have done in the past to shoot themselves in the foot. Outside of basketball, Andre has done a lot of connecting. He's connected the tech world with the tech world and the tech world with the basketball world. Last year, he arranged a 72-person dinner, which took place before a few days before the start of the NBA season, the 2016 NBA season, with Rudy Klein-Thomas, his former financial advisor and investing partner. Their mission bring players and tech executives together to develop relationships that can help the athletes make the kind of moves that solidify financial futures while bringing their star power and influence to the Silicon Valley players. He's developed a diverse portfolio of investments that include fitness and sleep technologies, financial technology, and consumer products. He's setting himself up to be a Silicon Valley player in the final years while ensuring that he, in the final years of his NBA career, and ensuring that he holds on to the $118 million, and that's from last year. He's made more than that since entering the league out of the University of Arizona in 2004. Andre believes the players must think of themselves as businessmen even before they retire, and he's going to help them. He wants, you know, NBA players to be involved in more than just basketball. He says, NBA players are really hot right now. People know our faces now and our names are recognizable, but it isn't always going to be that way. Before the popularity and power dissipates, Iguodala wants to help his fellow players create these relationships, build these networks, and develop them and create marketing opportunities for themselves. He continues, I'm trying to get the athlete to reinvent himself. There's a lot of hard work that goes into this, but it's possible. I always tell my teammates we're teammates for life. We're going to be doing things together when we get older. Don't take that for granted. That's from Fast Company from last year. And it just goes to show how intelligent Andre is on and off the court. He's one of the most intelligent players on the court and is taking his savvy into Silicon Valley and making things happen for himself and trying to inspire other players to make things happen for themselves as well so they don't fall into the trap of the Antoine Walkers and the Gilbert Arenases of the world and spend their hundreds of millions of dollars without any sort of cushion whatsoever. And Andre is trying to build something for the future. So not only did he save the game against the Atlanta Hawks on Friday night, but he's trying to save his fellow players from a life of destitution and getting them involved with some very, very valuable connections and powerful Silicon Valley investors. So he's my Warrior of the Week for what he does on the court and what he's doing off the court. Now I want to talk to you very quickly about sponsoring the Locked On Warriors podcast. Podcasts are hot right now and Locked On Warriors is no different. If you're looking for a connected male audience, look no further than Locked On Warriors. The podcast is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. So if that's your target demographic, send me an email, alicocarter11@gmail.com. Our rates are reasonable. I'll give you all the details. Now I want to go around the NBA. The Rockets are playing the Thunder tonight on TNT at Oklahoma City. Big, big game. The Rockets are going to have to take care of business if they're going to stay in the lead. And then the New Orleans Pelicans are looking to keep their win streak going against the Clippers in Los Angeles. The Heat are playing the Wizards on League Pass. Another good game. And then the rest is mostly playoff teams against bad teams. But I want to go to Cleveland, where today Kevin Love talked about an experience that he suffered in the Players Tribune, a panic attack earlier this season during the game. In the piece, which is titled Everyone is Going Through Something, Love explains that he suffered the panic attack on November 5th during the Cavs' home loss to the Hawks. That was the game he left with an illness, and people in the team were like, what illness? You know, you didn't seem ill. Here's an excerpt from the piece in the Players Tribune. He says, I was winded within the first few possessions. That was strange. And my game was just off. I played 15 minutes of the first half and made one basket and two free throws. After halftime, it all hit the fan. Coach Lou called a timeout in the third quarter. When I got to the bench, I felt my heart racing faster than usual. Then I was having trouble catching my breath. It's hard to describe, but everything was spinning like my brain was trying to climb out of my head. The air felt thick and heavy. My mouth was like chalk. I remember our assistant coach yelling something about a defensive set. I nodded, but I didn't hear much of what he was saying. By that point, I was freaking out. When I got up to walk out of the huddle, I knew I couldn't re-enter the game. Like, I literally couldn't do it physically. Coach Lou came up to me. I think he could sense something was wrong. I blurted something like, I'll be right back. And I ran back to the locker room. I was running from room to room like I was looking for something I couldn't find. Really, I was just hoping my heart would stop racing. It was like my body was trying to say to me, you're about to die. I ended up on the floor in the training room, lying on my back, trying to get enough air to breathe. The next part was a blur. someone from the Cavs accompanied me to the Cleveland clinic. They ran a bunch of tests. Everything seemed to check out, which was a relief. But I remember leaving the hospital thinking, wait, what the hell just happened? According to Cleveland.com's Joe Vardon, Love suffered another panic attack in the Cavs' January 20th loss to the Thunder. Love left that game after playing just 3 minutes for what the team said were migraines. His absence from that game was called into question by teammates during a January 22nd meeting. Love made the disclosure during the infamous January 22nd meeting, and in which Dwayne Wade and Isaiah Thomas challenged him as to why Love not only left before the end of the game, but missed practice the next day. Love says, "So I did one seemingly little thing that turned out to be a big thing. The Cavs helped me find a therapist and I set up an appointment. I gotta stop right here and just say I'm the last person who would have thought I'd be seeing a therapist. I remember when I was 2 or 3 years into the league, a friend asked me why NBA players didn't see therapists. I scoffed at the idea. No way any of us is going to talk to someone. I was 20 or 21 years old and I grew up around basketball. And on basketball teams, nobody talked about what they were struggling with on the inside. I remember thinking, what are my problems? I'm healthy. I play basketball for a living. What do I have to worry about? I'd never heard of any pro athlete talking about mental health. And I didn't want to be the only one. I didn't want to look weak. Honestly, I just didn't think I needed it. It's like what the playbook said, figure it out on your own, like everyone else around me always had." A lot of this for Love is surrounding the death of his grandmother. During his 6th year with the Timberwolves, Grandma Carol made plans to visit him in Minnesota for Thanksgiving. Then right before the trip, she was hospitalized for an issue with her arteries. And a few days later, she was gone. Love was devastated, but he never really talked about it. He says, "The reason I'm telling you about my grandma isn't even really about her. I still miss her a ton and I'm probably still grieving in a way, but I wanted to share a story because of how eye-opening it was to talk about it. In the short time I've been meeting with a therapist, I've seen the power of saying things out loud in a setting like that, and it's not just some magical process. It's terrifying and awkward and hard, at least in my experience so far. I know you don't just get rid of problems by talking about them, but I've learned over the time, maybe you can better understand them and make them more manageable. Look, I'm not saying everyone go see a therapist. The biggest lesson for me since November wasn't about a therapist. It was about confronting the fact that I needed help." And Love credits DeMar DeRozan for starting the conversation about mental health. DeMar DeRozan came out as dealing with depression right before the All-Star break. But more than how it affects his NBA colleagues, Love makes it clear in his piece he's concerned about mental health issues for everyone, regardless of their profession. I've seen a therapist in the past, and you know, it's an interesting experience, but it does actually help sort through issues people might be going through. And there's nothing weak about it, you know? It's really like, sometimes you need more than just a friend to talk to. Sometimes you need someone who's gonna be completely unbiased, who's gonna give you a professional opinion, and who's gonna help you through things in a way friends can't. I've had panic attacks before. Panic attacks are awful, and they need to be treated. So kudos to Kevin Love for being honest about the experiences that he's going through, for coming out and being an advocate for mental health awareness. And I imagine it must have been very difficult to deal with that while people were suggesting that he wasn't actually sick, while people were suggesting that maybe he wasn't completely invested in the team. You know, people go to work every day and they deal with depression, they deal with panic attacks, and they deal with an anxiety, and they deal with the same accusations. Like, you know, you seem out of it. What's going on? Where, you know, where is your attention? Where is your work ethic? And it's just like, whoa. Like, I'm dealing with something right now. You know, life is really hard. And I can't focus on this right now. You know, like, this is the most important thing to me. I want you to know that this is the most important thing to me, but I need to focus on myself. I need to get help. And I need to, basically just creating a more equitable world for people with mental health concerns is something that the NBA is definitely starting to take a leadership role in, with DeMar DeRozan, with Kevin Love, with Stephen Curry going to the Total Health Forum in Atlanta, talking about mental health awareness, raising the profile, talking about what he would do if a friend confided in him that he was or she was dealing with a mental health concern. And the NBA can do that. Royce White also is doing good work in the mental health arena. And that's about as much time as I have today to talk about basketball. I'm going to a Fast Forward Accelerate for Good event in San Francisco to assist one of my nonprofit clients. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be doing our statistical deep dive. We'll be recapping the game against the Nets, and we'll be talking around the NBA and see if the Rockets were able to extend their win streak against the Thunder or if it is over. Thanks for listening. Make sure you tune in tomorrow and stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.